and his address on this day.
We are the sons of the Prophet. We are the sons of the Prophet's friends and family. We are the sons of Badr, of Khaybar, and Hunayn and Karbala. Family, we are the sons of Badr, of Khaybar, and Hunayn and Karbala. So death and killing for us is something normal, and our dignity is getting martyrdom. It is in this spirit which we confronted you. We confronted you with this spirit ever since 1982, and we are still filling the arenas and squares. And if you take a look at this stance made by Zainab, may peace be upon her, Zainab told Yazid, and we can take an example of this in our modern days. Of course, Yazid had taken control at that time, and he was at that time also picking at the head of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Abi Abdullah al-Hussein's head was placed in the hands of Yazid at that time in the palace, and then Zainab stood. Zainab, who was a stranger in this land, who was alone, nobody was able to make her victorious. But what did she say? She told Yazid very clearly in a strong language, and I'll summarize this to you so I can set an example for how to confront the challenges of modern days, how to confront the future, just as Zainab also confronted her situation at that time. We are now, of course, at a very later period, but we can still learn the same lessons. At that time, in that specific situation, in a place where Yazid's supporters filled the area, filled the place, she said, do what you want. She told Yazid, do what you want, do as you wish, pursue as much effort as you can, because you cannot wash away our memory, you cannot take away what we stand for, and in the end we will be victorious. Your days are numbered. And we today, we say the same thing. We tell all those who are conspiring against us, all those who are conspiring against the Ummah, we tell all those who are conspiring against the sanctities of the Ummah, against the people of the Ummah, against the resources, against the religion of the Ummah, we tell them, those who are planning and plotting against the Ummah day and night, those who are trying to take away the resistance or destroy the resistance, we tell them, we are not the same in the same situation which Zainab was in with Yazid. Our supporters are filling the squares, and our men are filling the battlefronts in many different fields, in many different battles, in many different countries where we have resistance and where we have an axis of resistance, where we have people. So we tell all those tyrants in this world, we tell them, do as you wish, just like Zainab said, pursue as much effort as you can, do what you want, because you will not be able to wash away our memory, and you will not be able to take away what we stand for. In the end, we'll be victorious, and your days are numbered. Today, from this square, today, from this square, the square where Imam Hussein's head passed through, the place where Imam Hussein's family passed through, this place which witnessed in modern history, which witnessed the beginning, the launching of the popular jihad of Imam Musa al-Sadr. This place also was witness to the beginning of the Islamic resistance in Lebanon. It also witnessed the first display of the resistance with its weapons on Al-Quds Day, the first Al-Quds Day. This arena, this square, which always took in the bodies of the martyrs who came back from this heroic place, those who came back from the south, from the western Bekaa, or the martyrs as a result of the Israeli bombardment of Baalbek and Duris and other places. From this arena, I stress today, and here I will focus on the political points, I stress today very decisively, very clearly, with certainty, I stress that we hold on to the choice of resistance. We hold on to the path of resistance, to the road of resistance and the weapons of resistance. Because this choice, this path, these weapons, together with the army and the people, this is the only guarantee for Lebanon's security, Lebanon's protection, and for Lebanon's dignity, Lebanon and Lebanon's sovereignty. Yesterday, I felt very happy when I listened to what the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said. Ban Ki-moon said that he is worried and concerned about the military power of Hezbollah. This is something which satisfies us and reassures us. I'd like to tell him that your concern, Mr. Secretary General, reassures us, makes us happy. What concerns us is that you be concerned. We want you to be concerned, we want America to be concerned, and we want Israel to be concerned. What concerns us is that our people be assured, that our men, women, children are assured, that our elderly and young people are assured that in Lebanon we have a resistance which will not allow for new occupation, which will not allow for new violations for Lebanese dignity. This is something which makes us happy, so we're not concerned with what concerns you. And I'd like to tell Mr. Ban Ki-moon and to the whole world that this resistance, the jihadist resistance, this armed resistance will remain and will continue and will increase in strength, will increase in its capabilities and in its preparations and readiness. And its faith is increasing. And its certainty in the righteousness of its choice is also increasing. And we, who have experience here in Lebanon and in Palestine and in Iraq and everywhere in the region, this region which lived through occupation and is still living through occupation. Palestine is still occupied for decades. What was the result of relying on the Arab League? What was the result of relying on the Arab organizations? What was the result on relying on the OIC or relying on the United Nations or on the Security Council or on the European Union, etc., etc.? What was the result of this? The result of relying on all these sides, all these groups, is that Palestine is still under occupation. More than 10,000 Palestinians, men and women, are still in prison, and millions of Palestinians are still displaced outside their countries, outside their homes. And Jerusalem, Al-Quds, the city of Muslims and Christians, is still under the demolishment, is being subject to the demolishing of Israelis every day. But the resistance in Lebanon, the resistance which believed in God and depended on the strength of its men and the support of its women and its people, the resistance brought about liberation. The resistance in Gaza brought about liberation. The resistance in Iraq brought about liberation. So in this era, in the beginning of 2012, it's very strange, after all of these historic achievements have been made by the choice of resistance, by the path of resistance, these are great achievements, of course, in Lebanon and Palestine and Iraq. After all of this, it's very strange that some argue with us about the efficiency of resistance, about the path of resistance. What is their choice? What is their alternative? Today, I'd like to stress on this meaning. And when it comes to the national dialogue, I never said on the 10th day of Ashura that we are against national dialogue. I said, and I was very clear and specific, I said that there are some people who don't want national dialogue. They only want it for disarming Hezbollah. And I said at that time, we won't be able to achieve this aim. And today, on Arba'een, I say the same thing. These are dreams. You won't be able to disarm Hezbollah via dialogue. However, holding national dialogue to bring about a national defense strategy and to protect Lebanon, we are people who welcome such a dialogue. We are ready for such a dialogue. A dialogue for this purpose, whether it be a national dialogue or whether it be a bilateral dialogue or a trilateral dialogue. We always said that we are ready for such a dialogue because we are people who have logic. We are people who have clear justifications and reasons, and we have experiences and we have achievements. When we speak about the efficiency of resistance and why we have resistance, we don't speak about what happened with other people hundreds of years ago. We speak about the experiences here in Lebanon, experiences and achievements which were made by our people, by our men and women, elderly, young. Achievements which were made here in South Lebanon, in Beirut, in the Beqa, in the north. Achievements made here, achievements which were witnessed by the whole world. So we are ready for dialogue because we have strong logic. As I said, we have a clear vision. We can use it. We are not people who just have empty slogans, people who are enthusiastic for nothing. Also, we must remember what Imam Sayyid Musa Sadr, we also must focus on him and his two colleagues, Sheikh Muhammad Yaqub and Mr. Abbas Badruddin. And we stress here that we support the steps taken by the Lebanese government and the Lebanese official delegation, which went to Libya recently. And we hope and we thank our brothers in Libya for their readiness to deal with this issue with the necessary seriousness. And we call on a serious approach, especially because we want the efforts to be made in order to have a common achievement, to reach a happy ending to this file, a happy ending for the family of Imam Musa Sadr and Sheikh Yaqub and all of his beloved. We hope that they will return to their country very soon. When it comes to the security situation, before speaking about the government, I'd like also to stress on this day, from the city of Baalbek, I stress that we are very keen and intent on preserving civil peace and civil stability in the country. We are very intent on any political disagreement, and this is our approach, this is our religion, any political disagreement must not be transformed, any disagreement about any subject whatsoever, even about subjects in the region, even if we disagree about Syria or Iraq or Iran or Palestine or Bahrain or any issue in the region, such disagreements must not lead to any kind of instability, any shaking of stability or civil peace. I stress that we are completely committed and I call for such a commitment to civil peace and civil stability. In addition, I stress that the responsibility of preserving stability, internal stability, social stability, confronting the looters, confronting the killers, confronting the aggressors in all the Lebanese areas, this is the responsibility of the state, it's the responsibility of the government, the responsibility of the army, the responsibility of the security agencies. It is not the responsibility of any other side, the resistance or any other political party. And we reject anybody framing us or anybody saying that we must take this responsibility. Nobody must put this responsibility on our shoulders because such a responsibility is for the army and security agencies. Any security achievement is for them, and any shortcomings also must be on their account. They must be held responsible for any such shortcomings. And once again, we call on the Lebanese army and on the Lebanese security services to take their responsibility completely for the peace and security of all Lebanese territories, and there is no excuse for any shortcomings and for not taking such a responsibility. When it comes to the government, we are intent for this government to continue, and we behaved in such a way, and we hope from the Prime Minister and from the Cabinet members to pursue more efforts. We hope that the government could be more effective. We hope that the government can give a priority to the issues of the people, the social issues, the daily issues. And this is what makes this government a popular government. It will make it a popular government which will have the popular support. When it comes to issues like salaries and employees, this issue must end very quickly. And it seems from at first sight that it is no longer an issue of routine. And I can say now that we are beginning to have some suspicions about it, as if there are some who don't want this government specifically to make any achievements, any important achievements related to the daily lives of the Lebanese, such a sensitive issue. When it comes to the situation in the region, I have a few words to say as well. When it comes to Syria, we in Lebanon, we are the country which is sensitive most of all towards what happens in Syria. We are influenced most of all towards what happens in Syria, whether we like it or not. We in Lebanon, we are trying to distance ourselves, our political and security situation, we are trying to distance ourselves from what is happening in Syria. However, we most of all are influenced by what happens in Syria, we as Lebanese. And so, because we are very keen and intent, because we love Syria, we love its people, we love its army, we love everyone in Syria, we love its leadership, we love everyone in Syria. Because of this, we call on the Syrian opposition inside Syria and outside Syria. We call on this opposition to respond positively to the call for dialogue, the call which was made by President Assad. And we call for the opposition to cooperate with President Assad to go ahead with the reforms which President Assad announced. And these reforms are very important. And these reforms will make Syria rise and address its problems. We also call very clearly, very frankly, we call for bringing about calm and stability once again. We call for putting down arms and addressing the disagreements by dialogue. And I tell all the countries, because recently we've been hearing a lot of statements. Some people are cautioning and warning that there might be a sectarian war in the region beginning from Syria. And so I say here that your behavior, the behavior of some countries and some governments, the political behavior of some governments, the media behavior, the incitement, this is what will lead to a sectarian war. So these warnings won't lead to anything. If you are really honest in your warnings about sectarian war, if you are really intent on preventing any sectarian war in Syria or in the region, if you are really intent on preventing any civil wars as well, what you should do is to begin with yourselves, addressing your own behavior. You must reconsider your political behavior, your media behavior, your diplomatic behavior, and all efforts. The efforts of the Arab countries, the efforts of the Arab League, the efforts also of the Islamic countries, the influential Islamic countries in the region, especially the Islamic Republic of Iran and Turkey, all of these efforts must be focused on helping to end the crisis in Syria, not in helping light the flames more and more and putting the people in the corner and leading the situation towards an explosion. There must be a contribution to a logical addressing of the problems. And I believe that everybody in Syria are intent on preserving their country and their people and their strategic position in the region. In Iraq, we must condemn very strongly the bombings which have targeted the pilgrims. And today also, and over the past few days, these explosions which led to the martyrdom of hundreds and the wounding of hundreds. And I call once again on the religious scholars of the Ummah. I call on the governments of the Ummah, the movements, the political parties, especially the Islamic political parties. I call on all of them to condemn all these kinds of suicide explosions, especially the suicide bombings, which are targeting the civilians because of a disagreement in ideology or religious differences or racial differences, ethnic differences, whether they be in Iraq or Afghanistan or Pakistan or Syria or Somalia or Nigeria. These bombings, which are targeting Christians and Muslims, for the sake of differences in religious views. Those who are being killed in Iraq today, their only guilt is that they walked to visit the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. The killers, of course, are taking revenge against the spirit of resistance in Iraq, which forced the occupation to leave. But I'd like to say to those killers, whoever they may be, that killing won't bring about anything. This killing won't put a stop to these marches, these religious marches for Allah. Killing in Karbala did not put an end to this march and did not decide this battle, and it increased the determination of the believers. And the killing in Lebanon, the killing in Palestine, the killing in Iraq, this won't put an end to the march. The killing in Iran also won't put an end to all this. The killing of nuclear scientists in Iran, for example, won't put an end to the educational development in Lebanon or Iran's technological advances. It will not make Iran bow down. They killed nuclear scientists. Why? Because they want us in the Arab world, and allow me to say this, maybe some people might disagree, they want us in the Arab world to be dancers. They want us to be people who are not scientists, people who don't believe in education, people who are preoccupied with other issues besides education, behind technological advancements. They don't want us to be people of education in chemistry, in physics, in every aspect. They don't want us to be an ummah of education. Imam Khamenei called for on Iran to produce education, not to import education. They want us, of course, Imam Khamenei called for producing education and exporting education, and the enemies don't want us to be as such. In Bahrain, we once again call on the leadership in Bahrain to answer to the demands of the people and to begin with the necessary reforms, the real reforms, and to enter into a real serious dialogue with the opposition on foundations which achieve and fulfill the aspirations of the beloved Bahraini people. And on Arba'een, we cannot forget Palestine. Palestine, the arena of Mujahideen and the honorable people. And day by day, it is being proven to the Palestinian people that there is no other way except resistance, and that the enemies of the people, or the Ummah, don't want the Palestinians to be in reconciliation, don't want unity amongst the Palestinian factions. And the enemies always try and sabotage any efforts to achieve reconciliation between Hamas and Fatah and all different factions, because the project of the enemy is to rip our people apart in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, in all different Arab and Islamic countries. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in Iraq, in Palestine, in Syria, in Lebanon, in all the region, our way to achieve dignity, independence, freedom, strength, prosperity, honor, the only way to achieve all this is unity, and to prevent any divisions from prevailing, addressing our problems via dialogue and holding on to resistance and holding on to the choice of resistance and the experience throughout history, including this occasion which we are commemorating today. This all teaches us that with our spirit, which reflects humility, which rejects humiliation, which loves martyrdom, which is confident about the future and is sure that we will achieve victory in the end, in this spirit, we can overcome the difficulties facing our Ummah in this dangerous stage. We can overcome these difficulties and reach the safe arena, safe area, via unity. May peace be upon you. Assalamu alaykum, Abi Abdullah. May peace be upon all of the martyrs who fell in your cause. I, of course, salute you and salute you every day as long as I live. May this not be my last pledge to you. May peace be upon Hussein. May peace be upon Ali, son of Hussein. And may peace be upon the children of Hussein. May peace be upon the friends of Hussein. And once again, I.